Hello, my name is Peter Cinnamond, and you're listening to a podcast which is all about the Irish League. Lauren, they were clinical, as Cliftonville failed to capitalise on their chances in a high-stakes matchup in East Antrim. It was familiar faces, but not of the friendly kind, who leave another murky rain cloud hanging over the Oval. And Loughall learnt one lesson from their thumping at Windsor last week. Score 5 at home, and you'll snag the points. Plenty to sift through, all on this week's edition of Kicking Match. The wind and the rain came, but somehow, by hook or by crook, we were able to have a full schedule of Irish League games take place this weekend. And you know what? Despite the weather, I thought we had a rather cracking weekend of football. There was lots of goals, plenty of drama, and a whole load to talk about. And here, as my little temperature check, my co-thermometer this week, it's very nice to welcome back a football reporter, commentator, and Irish League podcaster. It's Mark Strange.
Hi, how are we, Peter? Nice, thanks.
I'm doing very well. Nice to have you back. The last time I had you on, things have changed in the sense that in the last time we've been speaking and you've been sharing your thoughts and feelings with this fine Kicking Match audience, you have joined the roster, or you have made your BBC Sports Sound debut. It's a programme which has been an absolute privilege over the past 2 years for me to jump on and talk about games. How have you found your opening few games and getting on that prestigious programme?
Brilliant. As you said, prestigious. It genuinely is, because it was a programme I listened to basically every weekend. Growing up, my dad and I would have listened to it. Yeah, now to be on it is... I've done 4 games now, I think, at the time of speaking. It's still pretty surreal. Sometimes, you know, you kind of, that you're, this is what I'm doing, you know, on a Saturday. It's still a bit, you know, hasn't quite hit home yet, I think. But yeah, absolutely loving it so far.
It's not a million miles away from what you would have done before. Like when I got my first run out, it was as a favour. And it's not like I had any ambition or had done any sports broadcasting before. And look at me now. But for yourself, it's completely different, of course. But, you know, you came into it doing commentaries for websites. You've been an Irish League podcaster before. Every little thing in broadcasting is a bit different. How have you found the mechanics of it? Is it like, I don't know, learning to do it left-handed? Does it feel like similar, but just a wee bit off to the side?
Yeah, a little different. I mean, as you said, my sort of background commentary-wise, I do work for FlashScore. Some people listening may know, some may not, which is all sort of, it's home-based, but it's audio commentary, radio, whatever you want to call it. It's on the app and website, but it's full 90 minutes commentary, but it's solo, you know, so it's a lot of talking. I mean, anyone who knows me knows that I can talk anyway, so that's no problem. But in terms of doing the, you know, so the updates on SportsSound, it is a little different. Yeah. You have to obviously stay focused for the whole game, even though through 90 minutes, I might only be talking for 5 at most, you know, depending on the game. So that's certainly different. The tech side of it initially kind of scared me a bit, but I mean, your good self talked me through that, and I'm a pro at that. Despite you getting slightly panicked phone call on Saturday at 2 o'clock or something like tech.
Blind leading the blind, Mr. Strange. No, it's great to have you a part of the crew. One of many great voices that you can hear on a Saturday afternoon. But we will start on Friday night. And of course, your beloved Inverreds getting a real big win against a red hot team from North Belfast in Cliftonville. You had that earliest of early scares when you have Ben Wilson running free in the box, one-on-one with the keeper. You're thinking, shouldn't have done that. But Ferguson stepped up and was able to deny the goal. And he was a big player at times throughout that 2-1 victory for Lauren. You've got a couple of these coming up, which could be considered must wins if you want to get yourself up into that title race. But we start with that game on Friday night. You got to be the light of that victory.
Yeah. I mean, you touched on it there. You know, it was less than a minute, I'm pretty sure, and Ben Wilson's going through on goal. You know, and you're thinking, oh, no way. You know, I mean, he hasn't missed too many chances like that. But, you know, as you said, thankfully, Big Rowan stepped up to the mark as he has done so often when he's been at Larne. But the game itself, it was great. It was a really sort of the first game this season. And I would probably include even the win over Linfield. That was a big night. But, you know, there was just under 2,000 Larne fans there, plus a split from the way, and, you know, under the lights Friday night, you know, it had a real big a big game feeling to it. And I would sort of say, I think some of the guys at Lauren have said it as well. It was the first game that felt kind of like some of the big games last year in the title run in November, which is nice. It was the first, maybe it's because, the Linfield game, it was still kind of daylight at kickoff. This one here, kickoff, it was dark. The atmosphere was great. I mean, you said Cliftonville, under Jim Magilton. I know maybe at the time it wasn't the most popular appointment, and I can't speak for Cliftonville fans. Perhaps someone will change their tune. Others still might not be, overly enamored with them, but they've been great this season. I've seen them a couple of times, not playing Larne. And they've been a really good side to watch and really dangerous. When you're bringing guys like, I know he's just coming back to fitness, but bringing guys like Ronan Hale off the bench and Joe Gormley and Stephen Mallon, these are boys that can't even get in your first 11. They're a really good side. So to get a big 3 points over them was great.
Despite the loss, it wasn't a performance where I looked at Cliftonville thinking that they've done a whole lot wrong, as if they've let Larne run all over them, they've tactically set themselves up poorly. I thought they had plenty of energy, they had patience when they were on the ball. That chance within the first minute was that in a nutshell, just a little neat ball, just weighted by Hale. How many times have we seen Roy Hale link up with Ben Wilson like that? But bar those two goals, which both came from the right-hand side, with Joe Thompson playing a role in both of them, Cliftonville were very much the match of Larne. And let's just talk about this guy, Joe Thompson. I know the cliche is here, feels like a new signing, but I feel like most of the other fans in the league probably thought, I've forgotten about him. And here he is stepping up to get the two goals when you're down to 10 men against Newry. And he plays a big role in a top six battle at home. Where has his recent spurt in form come from, or has this been coming?
I think it's been coming. I know even whenever Joe signed, last year, I know there's a lot of Derry City fans were sad to see him go. And I think that's always a bit of a cliche, but it's always a good sign whenever fans of the team a player's leaving are sad to see them go. I think sometimes he can nearly be forgotten about because Larne have so many numbers and so much quality in midfield. Look at the minute, Dylan Sloan's out at the minute. He's been fantastic this year. Leroy Miller has been out, and Leroy will probably tell you himself he hasn't quite been up to the level that he was at last year, since coming back. That's obviously down to the injury. And Mark Randall, the I could go on for days of sort of the names that Larne have in midfield. But yeah, Joe Thompson has been, on a hell of a run recently. Like you said, the two crucial goals against Newry last week, and then he's great going forward. He's a bit of a box-to-box midfielder, but he's got that ability the same way Leroy Miller has. Whenever he goes forward, teams almost they look scared. They don't like it. He runs straight at people, but he's such a creative player. And just even you look up front at the minute, like on Friday night, played basically with Paul O'Neill as a lone striker, and Larne don't do that too often. Tiernan Lynch has preferred the two men up front, but with Andy Ryan, good to see him back off the bench, but wasn't quite fit enough to start. Lee Bonus is injured. Elijah Paul suspended. Joe almost popped up as like a second striker there on Friday night.
He is fleet of foot. He is the all-round midfielder, and he played a big role. You mentioned Randall there. I can't let this podcast go without mentioning the pretty much blind ball that he played up to that right-hand side for the second goal, I believe, up to Tomas Cosgrove, who played his part and just pass it across the box into Joe Thompson's path. Another man that needs a bit of recognition. He signed a brand new contract a mere hours before the game on Friday night. Ex-Cliftonville and Glentoran player Paul O'Neill. He started so well last season, very much lost his place to just a completely undeniable Andy Ryan from January onwards. His place in the side has been questioned a bit, and with all these players in flux coming in and out of the team, he has taken his chance with aplomb, and he's made himself a real key part of this team, and he delivered early on. He had a lot to do with that ball to head it into the goal, but he rose high and he delivered that header with power and precision.
Yeah, I mean, you said it there yourself. He started last season so well, and then a lot of players really could let the head drop whenever they were sort of replaced by Andy Ryan. But at the minute this season, he's undroppable at the minute. You know, the way he's playing, not obviously his goals are a big factor, but even, you know, if you just the old Sky Sports player cam, if you put one on Paul O'Neill during a game, the running he gets through and the movement he's doing, the runs he's making, he's all over the place all the time. He's a great striker to have, a great guy around the club too, a really lovely fella too. And as I said, there's a lot of guys, particularly after the start he had last year, was so good, after sort of losing their spot to Andy Ryan, they would have, you know, let it go to their heads, or maybe would have, you know, threw the head up or sulked or whatever, but he never did. You know, even towards the end of last season, he was making big contributions off the bench and coming in to start games here and there, but he's effectively been the ever-present up front this year. They said Lee Bonus and Andy Ryan have had their injuries, and Elijah Paul took some time to get settled in. Now he's suspended, but Paul and he has been an ever-present, and a massive credit to him.
Three wins out of three. Now you've got your biggest game of the season now coming up next week. It's nice, I'm sure, for yourself to finally get on this run, because you started the season with a trip up, and then there's been Loughall, and then there's been Dungannon again, and no one's really looked at Lorne as a team that's went through the gears properly yet. Do you feel as though now that the season is very much settled and the team has found itself with a few new recruits and some players having extended time on the sidelines, are Lorne finally got the motor running here, and is that why we haven't seen them at full power so far this season?
I think so, and I think, you know, I heard Gary Haverham was the studio guest on Sports Sound at the weekend, and he touched on, you know, the amount of injuries this season that Lorne have had to key players. You know, Cian Bolger has been out, Lee Bonus has been out, Leroy Miller has been out. You know, I'm probably forgetting some here. And, you know, you've seen guys like Tomas Cosgrove shift into midfield, do a great job at it. But last year, again, particularly kind of down the stretch in the second half of the season, everyone contributed. But, you know, if everyone was fit, you know, you could have named the same Lorne starting 11 every week. And this season, that hasn't been the case. You know, you mentioned the two games against Dungannon and the defeat against Loughgall. I mean, isn't those teams totally deserve the results of that time, but and have their qualities. But I think Lorne were just trying to find their feet a little bit. It just, and like I said, sort of at the top of the, you know, show there, that I think Friday night was the first one where it really felt like, right, this is, you know, it's a big win, it's a big night, you know, and this could carry on. But I mean, Saturday coming up, you know, you lose to Linfield and all of a sudden they're 11 clear in November, and that's pretty wild. But at the end of the day, Lorne are the only team to have beaten Linfield in the league this season, knocked them out of the Shield too, so there's definitely that confidence going into it as well.
You absolutely have a hoodie over them. You're the last team to defeat them at Windsor Park in the league. And it's simply a must win. Mathematically, of course, nothing's decided now, but that is just a huge gap if that gets extended in any way. And it's been interesting to see Linfield play this season, because last year they were going into these big games trying not to lose rather than going out to try and win, because a loss would have put them even further back. And the shoe's on the other foot now, where actually Linfield probably can trot out these performances where they slow down the game and they make it a bit of a dull affair. That's the last thing kind of Lorne will go for. We'll probably touch on this game in our preview, but to preview it ever so slightly now, what does your gut say going into that game? I feel like Lorne is going to attack it with all their might. It's a speed that they know well, and they play quite well attacking, and I think Linfield will have to deal with that. I don't think Lauren's going to go into that game trying to feel things out. They're going to go for the juggler from the start, and I guess you're just going to have to take all the positives and the negatives that will come with that approach. Or do you see Lorne trying to be a bit more savvy up at the National Stadium?
I think just it'll be more of the, you know, the former of those two. Say I think Lorne will, not that they don't have a plan B, but that's how Lorne operate. You know, like even the other night, like they went for the jugular for Cliftonville. Like you said, Cliftonville didn't do a whole lot wrong. And all of a sudden find themselves 2-0 down at half time. We're looking at each other, how that happened. You know, that's what Lorne are good at. Whenever they're on their day, they blitz teams. You know, even likes of Cliftonville, I feel like, you know, Cliftonville looked a little bit shell shocked at times, going like, hold on, we're playing well here, and yet we're 2-0 down. And I think that's how Lorne beat Linfield at the start of the season. I think it's the way you have to go at Linfield. And I suppose it comes with risks too. Linfield are obviously a quality side and can hit you on the break and can, you know, really make you pay. But I think Lauren will go for it. I don't think they can't not go for it, if you know what I mean. Because even going to Windsor, and you come away with the point, okay, it's not the end of the world, and it's daft maybe saying this in November, but you know, the last thing you want is that gap going to 11. But I certainly think Lauren could go to Windsor and win. They've shown recently that they can do it.
You've summed it up perfectly. I agree. Lauren can't not go for it. And it is going to be the game of the season, no doubt, at Windsor Park when those two teams play each other on Saturday evening. To bring up a team who came out and played, particularly in the second half, like they had nothing to lose, was Stuart King's Carrick Rangers. We've talked and joked on this podcast that they are embodying last season Glenavon, and going from highs and lows, not being able to defeat the teams in the bottom, but getting big results against the top six sides. That was so Glenavon last season, and nothing is more Glenavon 2022 2023 quite like being the absolute scud of Glentoran, the bogey team of that team. And early on in that game, it looked like it was going to be back on track, another good Glentoran performance at home. They get a goal early in that first half and looked as though Glentoran were going to push on and get the goals. But Carrick Rangers and Stuart King had something else in store. The game took many twists and turns, but in the end, it's Danny Purkiss who comes back to haunt Glentoran once again. And it's just a horrible Saturday afternoon from the men from East Belfast. That loss stings and then some.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that you said the three goals came from two excellent Glentoran men, you know, Curtis Allen getting the third one too. It's just, if you go right back to the start of the season, I remember saying to somebody, you know, at the time, that Warren Feeney needs to win every single game here to try and win people over. I think even at that stage, he probably still wouldn't have. You know, they would have needed to have a start like Linfield have had, you know, for him to have any real hope of getting Glentoran fans on side. It wasn't even less popular, you know, appointment than Jim McGilton at Cliftonville. And it's just Glentoran all over again. They just cannot seem to get out of this rut. You know, last season with Mick McDermott and the season before, it was just chaotic, but they were still getting results. You know, I don't think it got to this bad last year. And you know, McAree coming in, giving a bit of stability, and then all of a sudden he's gone. And yes, I mean, Saturday, just two wins now for Carrick over the Glens. And I've seen Carrick play a couple of times this season, once up at Inver and also covered him at Loughgall. And they're a really good team to watch. You know, I really, you know, a really entertaining side. Sometimes arguably a little too open at the back. You know, they're usually pretty, you know, goal heavy games, but I think Glentoran will really regret getting rid of Danny Purkiss. I really do. And he's come back to bite them twice now.
There's no doubting that Carrick are absolutely open at the back, but they stood tall enough on Saturday afternoon. Let's say what it is. That was a collapse at home from Glentoran. A stat that I tweeted out, I want to give this credit to at Unofficial Glens on Twitter. They highlighted that this season Glentoran have only 24 points, and it's the lowest total after 15 league games since before the takeover in 2019, 2020 kind of direction. So, you know, in 18-19, it was only 18
Good to
points.
see that, yeah.
And since then, it's been 27, 26, 30, 35. Last year's clearly the high point of that, but down to 24 is not great after a fairly significant sample size of 15. You know, we're only a couple of games away here from being at the halfway point in the league, and it's games like this against Carrick. They are cruising after that first half, and then they get pinned back from a very direct goal. Brilliant bit of skill from Purkiss. I don't know how much he meant it, but he was able to take the ball away from the defender with one touch and knock it in with the other, rather than hitting it first time. Glentoran able to pull it back then, thanks to Jed Donnelly, and it all falls down. It's a penalty which is given against Glentoran. Paddy McLean is judged to have handled the ball from a slide tackle. And again, he was protesting about it. It's one of those where, like, I'm framing it again, frame by frame, what can I see? And I guess it's questionable, but the decision's made and they're down the 10 men and it's 2-2. And it's either about going for it or holding on for as much as he can with 15 minutes to go. And it's, of course, from a set piece, which is the one thing you can avoid when you're down to 10 men. And it's the rather nimble Curtis Allen who was thrown on. A big triple sub by Stuart King. He was going for it and he got his just rewards. He was loving it. Warren Feeney was not so much. He got sent off for his protests. And it all was just a concoction of despair and sadness. And this Glentoran side is categorically out of the title race. And in fact, they're more likely to drop out of the top six than they are to win the title now. And they clearly need to get themselves going. By the time people are listening to this podcast, the League Cup game may have come and gone. And there could be even more frustrations with the game against Linfield. But I just don't know. I spent a lot of time focusing on this game to try and see how are Glentoran playing, or are they working well together. And they have little bits of spark, and I've seen them work together well, but they just are able to be sliced open at times. And Carrick Rangers simply, for me, fought, and especially in the second half, they fought and they wanted this more. And Glentoran, time and time again, have wilted under pressure.
Yeah, you put it right. I was just about to say there, Glentoran looks soft in nearly every game they play at the minute. If you look at their squad, you know, there's on paper, certainly there's, I feel like we say this is like a broken record about Glentoran in the past few years. There's quality all the way through that squad on paper, but you put them all together in a pitch, it just doesn't work. You know, I can't explain it. I think you have tried to look at Glentoran and see like what is going on here. And I can't explain how a side with, you know, I know he scored on Saturday, but leaders like Marcus Kane at the back can be so easily cut through. And, you know, Singleton, guys, I guess here, you know, guys who are, you know, good quality Irish League players, and they just throw them all together in a Glentoran shirt and they just can't seem to pull it together. I don't know if it's the Feeney effect, whether there's like a curse over Glentoran, you know. And you feel for her, you know, Bobby Burns obviously getting that dreadful injury last week. He seems to be one of the few players on that side for a while who was, you could count on for a big performance every week. I don't know. I really wish I could be like a fly on the wall at, you know, Glentoran training or in the dressing room to see what's going on, because there's so much quality there. And at times, you said they look so comfortable at times, and all of a sudden it just all goes to pot.
I think it's that famous saying, everybody has a plan until they're punched in the face. And Glentoran are great when they are running away with it and duffing a lock all at home. But when they're 1-0 up and all of a sudden Carrick Rangers have come back and you're under the cosh, you're down to 10 men later on and it's 2-2, that's when it all goes wrong, when everything's looking great and then McKendry pops up and all of a sudden you're losing at home to Coleraine. It, time and time again this season, it's been when the going gets tough, the other teams get going against you, and you know, that is something that needs address. And that isn't about skill, that isn't about trying to work on technique, that's trying to work on probably the hardest thing to work on, and that's mentality. And let's not leave this part without reflecting what I'm sure many Glentoran fans are thinking. You said it there, Warren Feeney's been under fire, feeling the pressure from the very beginning. But if there's one hot seat in this league right now which feels nuclear hot, it's Warren. And I think I've probably said before that he doesn't have much slippage, he doesn't have much room to not get going, but some big results are required, because we've said the stats, the numbers aren't looking good, the performance on the pitch aren't looking good, and you've got to worry, can you keep that team performing? Can you get the bounce back from this side? A team who definitely bounced back on Saturday was Coleraine. I don't know if this game papers over some of the cracks, but any sort of recovery needs to come one game at a time. Seaview is not the fortress it was last season, that is for sure. And while speaking on the pod last week, I felt as though Crusaders were going to be the team that dictated how this game ended. And I think, without not giving the credit to McKendry and the great player from Coleraine, Crusaders didn't put their best foot forward attacking-wise and were not up to the task to get the goals to make this a contest. And McKendry and Coleraine took their chances, and they run away up to the Northwest with 3 points in their back pocket.
Yeah, and I heard a stat on Saturday as well that since they beat Carrick 9-0 at the start of the season, they've now played six, but before Saturday they played five home games and only scored five, and now they've played six home games since then and scored five goals. You know, like, it just, they seem to have a real problem with Senzo Symbols sticking the ball in the back of the net. You know, Ben Kennedy comes up with, you know, big goals from midfield. Paul Heatley as well will chip in, but up front, they just look really light at the minute. You know, light, not quite, because they're always big men up front, the Crusaders. Light, not light in size, but, you know, like Adam Leckie, you know, Jordan Owens, you know, are they guys that are going to guarantee goals? They'll certainly guarantee 100% effort, and they have their uses. But, you know, you look at the Crusaders' size under Stephen Baxter that won titles, and it was, you know, get the ball long to Jordan Owens and Heatley and others, you know, the midfielders and wingers went beyond them. And you wonder, you know, are they still trying to do that too much? Or, you know, have they really progressed?
It's reliant on the players that they have, and particularly Leckie as the main central figure. It's about execution. And they haven't been able to consistently execute and take the chances. McKendry, we joke here about don't give him an inch on his left foot, and that's where those goals come from, particularly the first one. And for Crusaders, they haven't been able to have, be it luck, be it just the chance creation, they haven't been able to deliver and execute at times, and that's why, despite that big 9-0 victory, you're not seeing the same amount of goals. They're having difficulties at the back. We all know Jimmy Callagher may as well be completely out for the season if he's not already. They lose him. Josh Robinson suspended. So they've got this makeshift back line with Billy Joe Burns dropping into centre half. Now, he's no scratch, like, but in turn, it's not ideal. And it felt like to me that Coleraine were up for it a bit more. They just ebbed and flowed better than the Crews, and it come back to that word, execution. They're not doing it.
Yeah, and I think we talk about execution, you know, the forwards the Crusaders have. You look at even at likes of Corey, and obviously Shevlin suspended, but he's a quality forward. McKendry can step up. Glacken, you know, they've good forwards. Cliftonville, Hale, Wilson, Gormley obviously is something else, but all those sides that you think are kind of around Crusaders, you know, kind of the, maybe not just that rung below the title, you know, level, they all have finishers they can rely on, and it's such a simple thing in football. But even if, you know, if you're having a bad day or you're struggling to create chances, right, we've got, you know, whoever up front who can finish for us, we know we'll get them half a chance, there's a chance he can score here. Crusaders just don't seem to have that. And if you nullify those, you know, the likes of Leckie or Owens or whoever they have playing up front, you know, they don't really have much of a plan B there.
I know they got bodies in. We talked about bringing in Thielen and the likes. But it's still bringing on Heatley and Leckie. And in the same way that Cliftonville are able to go to Wilson or to Gormley, they have it can be spread around a bit more. It's for Crusaders. Like, I look at that team and think, you know what, even if they had, and I know they're interested in him, even if they had like a Matthew Fitzpatrick, it isn't the same trying to draft out. They're trying to squeeze as much juice out of that Jordan Owens goal source as they can. And at some point it will not deliver anymore. It's still, you know, getting goals when they can. But there will be games absolutely where all these players are doing their business and they're getting the goals. But on this occasion, they gave Coleraine the opportunity, and Coleraine took them, i.e. McKendry. But you score some goals, and it's a different kind of game, you know, and that's the difference. We keep bringing up on here that Linfield are the team that are being consistent. And if we go actually to that game, Newry, they don't score within the first half. It's 0-0, tight old sticky pitch. Do we think something's going to change up? But Linfield, they get the goals, and it's no problem, no drama.
Yeah, that was actually the game I covered on Saturday for SportsSound, Newry Linfield, and I was, first of all, massive creds to everyone who got that game on, you know, considering during the week, you know, the terrible flooding that we saw in Newry. But I was sitting up at the top of the main stand, and even after the warm-ups, you're looking down the pitch and going, that looks soft. You know, you could see, you know, the mud and the stub marks even just in the warm-up. And I think that did play in the first half. Obviously, it's a leveler for both teams, but there's a couple of moments where, you know, like Joe Cooper, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and even a couple of, you know, for Newry, where there's balls breaking to him on the edge of the box, and either the ball didn't bounce at all or it took a bit of a weird bounce off the pitch and just wouldn't sit for them. And really, it took until about just before half time, and Chris McKee had a header well saved, but I mean, then the game was done before they are, you know, and that's what Linfield are so good at. They come out in the second half and blitz Newry, 3 goals in 5 minutes, and you know, the referee might as well have blown his full time whistle on the hour. And I have to do give credit to Newry. They did keep sticking to the end and hit the post, and you know, Liam Bagnall had a shot cleared off the line, and they kept going. But just as is the problem with a lot of teams, just lacking that clinical edge, and that's why they're down at the bottom, unfortunately. No lack of effort though from them, but just lacking that clinical edge, I think.
That will be a really key double for Fitzpatrick. McKee's been getting all of the plaudits, and while McKee didn't have a whole lot of people backing him this time last season, Fitzpatrick has to deliver this season because of the price tag, because of the pressure on Linfield trying to crawl themselves back and win this title. So far, so good, but to get those 2 goals, it looked like a game that has suited Fitzpatrick playing on the edge defender, and particularly that first goal where he gets up and wins a header. Fitzpatrick can often be a striker where you forget he's playing against you, and then all of a sudden he pops up in the 6-yard box and he's running away celebrating with the away supporters. So Linfield just show that they have strength and depth, and as well as that, the patience and the serenity to not panic and deal with what's in front of them. A solid victory against a Newry side who did their best, but again, come up short at home against a top-tier side.
Yeah, I spoke to David Healy after the game, and he sort of I put it to him, you know, a bit of a frustrating first half because really there was next to nothing happened for either side, and you know, and he said yes, it was, but I didn't get the impression, you know, that he went in at half time and gave the old hairdryer treatment. I think, you know, that's a big thing too that Healy is good at with his side. It's right, no panic. We know what we're doing. You know, keep doing what you're doing. The goals will come. And like I said, I think it was like 52, 53, and 56. You know, they got their goals, and they said that just lets Newry kill it as a contest. And I'm sure he wasn't happy with a lot of stuff he saw at half time. But as you said, Linfield, they did it last, you know, the week before with Loch Gall, you know, 1-1 at half time, finishes 5-1. And I think maybe somebody pointed out too, you know, the full time players, you know, the fitness, the legs, especially on a heavy pitch like that, it probably tells too. But there's obviously that real quality there with Linfield.
Let's keep on that thread of quality and a player who is proving it time and time again so far. He now has got as many goals as Chris McKee and Ben Kennedy, and he got himself a little bag full of them on Saturday. Another marker of a win for the wee side from County Armagh, Loch Gall. 5-2, their victors over Ballymena in a game which now shoots them up. They're seventh still, but they're now 3 points within distance of Glentoran in fifth. Coleraine are sitting there now on 23. If they didn't get that victory, Loch Gall could it be sitting here above them again in sixth. Loch Gall are doing something which we always talk about, and they're doing something that you need to do if you want to get away from that whole drama pile at the bottom of the league, and that's defeat teams around you. And Loch Gall have been excellent at that this season, and the way they're doing it is by scoring goals. They're being a bit more leaky at the back, but they're counteracting that with players like Jeboyd and with likes of Benji McGee, 21 years old, 8 goals, and I mean, when he shines bright. Loch Gall have got a brilliant little squad, and after 15 games, you've got to say this is no fluke. This is a very well-coached team, a well-assembled squad, and if they keep this up, they look like they will challenge for a top six place this season. They look excellent.
You know, this is no disrespect to Loughgall, but who would have predicted that at the start of the season? They've come up and kept the bulk of the squad that they brought up. For a lot of teams, sometimes, you know, they think, oh, you need to add quality. But sometimes, you know, the more parts you add to a team, it sort of everything falls apart. And obviously, they had a great thing going on last year and they've kept it going. But you said that the front line they have, McGee and Boyd, you know, I've seen them a couple of times now on Sports Sound. And again, they're another team kind of like Carrick. You're always guaranteed it's going to be an entertaining afternoon, if nothing else. But
they're a pretty team to watch, aren't they? They pass, they run, they move. This is not a long ball team. That's the other thing about it. I never love the term of a team playing football the right way, because that's nonsense, clearly. But they're definitely a team where you've got to respect. They're going for it. They're playing passes into space. And they defend well where they can, but they make it so difficult for other teams around them when you play the balls out wide. They're thumping the balls into the box. They're a team that I've seen a fair bit as well this season, but it's sometimes these games between bottom six sides aren't great on the execution. Ever bring back to that, it's not as thrilling going forward. But when you see a lock-all game, you're going to see some great attacking play.
Yeah, 100%. And they very much, again, kind of in that Carrick mold of, you know, they know they're probably going to concede goals at the back. Their defence is good. Good goalkeeper in Turker. But, you know, they also have that idea of, look, you score two, we'll score more kind of thing. And that's kind of what has worked for them so far this season. They're going to come up and lose, you know, games like they did against Linfield, you know, 5-1. They're going to ship six at Glentoran. That's going to happen, you know, and I think that's good as well. They've come back every time from those heavy defeats with a good win the next time. And you said the big thing is, you know, it's, yes, they've obviously got the result against Larne. You know, they took a point off, you know, Crusaders and Cliftonville too. But if you can keep beating those teams around you, nick points off the team at the top, I mean, that's what they're doing. I mean, if you wrote a textbook probably of how to play as a promoted team, Loughgall are doing it. And as you said, they have a lot of weapons. They can pass you in the submission. They can go down the wings, old school, go down the wings, get it in the middle. McGee is so fast over the top. That day again, Carrick per Albert Watman, brilliant defender, great guy, but he was not having a fun afternoon against McGee. You know, when 1 minute he's in front of him, then he's behind him, then he's round him. They're really good to watch, and it's really good to see.
You've got to feel as though he is one of probably many players from Loughgall, but he is the prize asset that I'm sure many top six sides will be thinking, we would like to have a player like that. Because what Benji McGee has is pace. He has the ability to attack and run at players. But also, I know this sounds ridiculous, but sometimes even though you've seen players, when you imagine them in your head, you kind of think of them in a different way. And he is not actually, you think of him as maybe as a little small, nimble player who get pushed off the ball, but actually he's got a decent bit of stature about him as well. I know I've kind of been the leader, the president of the Benji McGee and the low-key Loughgall fan club this season, but they just keep doing the business. And it is definitely early to rubber stamp saying that they are safe, but they are 9 points away. I pretty much did a bit of maths about this for my very first podcast here, and 30 points pretty much has you nailed on for safety. So they are looking pretty, pretty good. But a team that isn't looking good on the safety front is the team that actually lost the Loughgall, Ballymena. They scored two goals. That's a positive, but like they have done a lot this season, they concede a lot. Five goals away to Loughgall. That's two games now they've lost the Loughgall, home and away. And I said last week very much that If Loughgall can score two, they're probably going to win it. That wasn't the case at all, because Ran Wade pops up with two goals himself. Ballymena probably have had a bit more of a recent decent recovery over the past few weeks, getting that victory against Coleraine and the draw last week. But despite accumulating those 10 points, there's not much that you see in that team and think they've got enough right now that I could drag them away from this relegation zone anytime quick. They've got 10 points, so does Newry, and Dungannon are just below them. It's starting to feel more foreboding as every week goes on when you miss out on chances like you do against Loughall away.
Yeah. I mean, Jim Irvin, absolute gentleman, you know, great player, and I know he'd be a good manager. It's his first year, and it's a really it's a tough gig to take over. It almost reminds you of David Moyes after Sir Alex Ferguson, taking over Ballymena side after David Jeffrey, who have had a lot of their sort of prized assets, plucked away from them. Larne are guilty of that. They took a few Ballymena players, Farquhar, Miller, Bamer before that, Josh Kelly going to Glentoran, David McDaid gone to Coleraine over the summer, and they've brought some guys in. But it was always going to be a tough season for Ballymena. And as you said, there is some quality on that side. It's not they're not completely lost and not completely without hope. They've got front, they've got Westendorf on loan from Larne. They've got, the young guy Noah Stewart now, who's been fantastic since coming in, and Johnny McMurray. But while Loch all look this sort of side, and an even Carrick to a degree, they say, look, we know we're going to concede a couple, but we back ourselves, we're going to score more than you on more occasions. But I mean, I don't really have that. I saw my first sports sound game was actually that win they got at Dungannon, and that on that day really was just, they got the better. It was two pretty poor sides, and the only thing that might save Ballymena is there's a lot of teams around there of a similar level to them, but are they good enough to have two teams below them? That's the stage they're at, really.
Well, you talk about two bad teams playing against each other. It's last for a reason this week, and it is Glenavon against Dungannon Swifts. Even watching the highlights, if that's all you did, you're kind of pulling your hair out thinking this is just word of the week execution, poor execution. It's players who get high up the pitch and have a nosebleed and aren't able to pass or aren't able to find a man in the box, or there's no one in the box that's got there and on time. In fact, nothing was able to sum up this more than the fact that Glenavon's goal comes from a Dungannon player knocking the ball against their own crossbar, and there's Prendergast to knock it in. It was a game short on chances and low on excitement. That's kind of irrelevant if you're the team that wins, and the team that does get out there with a victory is Glenavon. What a turnaround. What a great 7 days it has been for Steve McDonnell, all of a sudden dropping to bottom of the league with 7 points. You've now got two wins and two, and you've got a game against Ballymena to look ahead to. I don't want to get too over my skis just yet, but many people are talking about the improvement in Glenavon. I think that's yet to be seen. Two wins will definitely give you a bit of optimism, but we're yet to see any style of great play. So we should probably also talk about the fact that this is just going from poor to worse for Dungannon. This season is getting away from them, really. But for Glenavon, two wins out of two, you'll take them, and Steve McDonnell will feel like his work is starting to bear fruit.
Yeah, you said it's two pretty poor sides, and I've seen Dungannon a couple of times this year. I saw them take up, points off Larne twice. The quality's there. Even that day against Ballymena, they whenever they lost, they had way more chances, and they've got young forwards, but good quality. What do you think of good quality Irish League forwards? Matty Lusty, Ethan Devine. They brought in Thomas Maguire, Tomás Galvin. There's good players in there, and it must be so frustrating for Rodney McAree to watch, because it's frustrating as a neutral to watch them. You can see there's something there, but I don't know what it is. Again, kind of similar back to Glentoran. Like, there's quality there. What's going on? But goals are a massive problem. So simplistic. Glenavon, I saw way back at the beginning of the season, they lost to Cliftonville. Gary Hamilton was manager at the time, and I said then, I think it was maybe the second or third game of the season, I said then, that's a team that's going to struggle big time. They were just, not only were they leaky at the back, but they just had nothing going forward. Obviously losing someone like Matt Fitzpatrick, you can't replace him, but there's just nothing there. And you said it was a lucky goal they got in the win, but hey, it's two big wins in a row, and coming up against, a bit of confidence behind them, coming up against a Ballymena team next week that have zero confidence, sadly. So I mean, it's ugly wins, but you got to get them whatever way they come.
Because Dungannon aren't winning ugly at all. They're not really
That's
winning.
the difference,
You know,
yeah.
an ugly win is still a win and would massively have changed their fortunes. Like I said, those two wins take Glenavon in space of a week and a bit from last now up to ninth. They're the ones that are leading that mini division down there. And look, Dungannon are still the highest scores of those four. They're the second lowest goals conceded, you know. Newry have conceded 10 more goals than them. They've scored two less, but just by virtue of getting two more wins than them, it's the difference. But saying that's only a point. But Dungannon, you do name the players. Matty Lusty's playing the best. He's played for one of his numerous excursions away from Larne. Ethan Devine has had flashes, but nothing consistent. Gallagher pops up as a big-time player, and then he fades away. I think Thomas Maguire can be a nippy player, and he's proven that he can get goals for Dungannon and can be a player that can cause damage. I also like Niall Owens, number 7, who pushed himself forward. Joe Murr can just break defences with his speed, and he hits the post. But like, nothing is coming off for Dungannon. And for me, they are more of a reactionary team than they are a team that's set up to do something. You know, Dungannon have had multiple years now of conceding lots and just trying to get anything from a game. And perhaps that's that feeling a set in where the belief that we can win is more of a 50% of the time we can maybe sneak something, and something needs to be sparked there. Something needs to wake up, because they're letting teams like Glenavon and others get victories over them. And I don't think that if you're Dungannon, you're looking at Newry, Ballymena or Glenavon, and you're looking at teams thinking, well, they're better than us, because I don't think man for man they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe part of the thing is too, Dungannon are quite a young side. You look at like the Glenavon, you know, they have Danny Wallace, they have Peter Campbell, Matthew Snoddy, just name a few off the top of my head, who are experienced and can sort of, you know, they've started doing it recently where they can grind out wins if needed. Dungannon maybe are a little bit naive. I said at the end of last season, I think had Niall Curry come into Portadown sooner than he did, I think Dungannon would have gone down, because you look at the form since Curry came in, you know, they were much better than Dungannon. And of all the teams I saw last year, I think Dungannon were the poorest. It was only for the virtue of Portadown's dreadful start, I think, that sort of saved Dungannon last year and then the relegation playoff. But I feel for Dungannon. It's a great club, always made to feel very welcome there. I'm a real big fan of Rodney McGree, and I can see what he's trying to do, but you said execution, they're just, you know, they're not getting hammered. You know, nobody has really, nobody's gone out and absolutely smashed Dungannon really this season, but they seem to just come out on the wrong end of narrow games.
Things at the top aren't tight, but the mini division at the bottom, as I guess I'll call it now, between here and the end of the season, is starting to look like that could be the case. For yourself, early days, but is there a team there that you fear for more than the others out of the four?
If you'd asked me this a fortnight ago, I would have said Glenavon, and maybe still there. I know they've had the two wins and they've pulled themselves away ever so slightly, but having watched Newry now a couple of times, I don't know what it is. I've seen them, you know, three times this season and get beat, you know, by, not heavily, but, you know, beat by a couple of three goals every time. And, you know, they have guys there. They have Adam Carroll, Daniel Hughes, and, you know, they're Adam Sally. There's forwards there. You have a bit of Irish League pedigree about them, but they just, I think I feel it could be between them and Dungannon. There's something about Ballymena, I think, that will come good. Not good as in, you know, they'll not streak away with it, but I think they, like I said there, they will have enough to have two teams worse than them. I think Glenavon could start just grinding out results. They have that experience in there, but I am going to stick my neck out and say it could be between Newry and Dungannon.
Couple of games to preview, but before we do that, let's spend a minute or two just to reflect on the situation many clubs and I'm sure fans out there have had to deal with in the past week. The storms have led to floods, and those floods have had some devastating impacts across the country in many places, particularly in the south of the country towards Newry. Portadown has been badly hit, and other places. And when it comes to football, I'm sure many of us have saw the pictures and the videos. You know, I've saw, you know, Ballinahinch be impacted bad, but Anna United and their ground on the Tandaghee Road in Portadown, I mean, was just under at least a foot of water I know the pitch is all weather, but it was just, it was like looking at a lake, if you've seen it online. And the game on Tuesday night in the League Cup, between themselves and Loughgall, which was supposed to be played at the Anna, has been delayed. But you know, we've seen and read their manager Kieran McGuigan talk about it. It looks as though they've saved their clubhouse and a few other kind of buildings and facilities around them, but there is a significant fear that the 3G pitch down on the Tanagee Road is not going to make it after being underwater for hours, if not more than a day and a half. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that situation. But to think a club that has been on the precipice of an historic rise into the top flight twice, they haven't had the best start to their season this year in the championship. But your heart goes out in a way to Anna United, all the volunteers, I'm sure, for a club like that, and the other clubs that have had their grounds impacted. But their season, it looks like it's in turmoil now.
Yeah, it's devastating, just saying. I touched on Newry earlier. I was, in the middle of last week, I thought there's no chance I'm going to be going to Newry at the weekend. And fair play to everybody who got that game on. The pitch did take a bit of a beating, but I'm sure it'll recover. But as you said, it was at Ballinahinch. It's devastating, and Anna in particular. Like, yes, they're only they were so close to getting in the Premiership a couple of times, but that is a club that runs and volunteers, like so many clubs, nearly every club. In the Irish League pyramid, it runs on the strength of volunteers, and it's a lovely little ground they have there. The pitch is great, fantastic facilities they have, and yeah, my heart goes out to them. It really does, because it's a devastating thing to happen to, have another people who lost homes and businesses. It's so devastating, but for the club, it must be dreadful at the moment. And fingers crossed, the pitch, is salvageable, and the facilities hopefully are drying out as we speak. But fingers crossed. I did notice too, a big shout out to Armagh City. I did notice on Twitter that they came out and said, "Use our facilities anytime," and it's great to see sort of clubs coming together. I heard Kieran McGuigan on the radio at the weekend saying that they're hopefully going to be meeting with NIFL this week and try and sort out maybe that ground sharing option and fixture clashes and all the rest. But as you said, it's not ideal.
Looking ahead to this weekend's games, we've touched upon it. I've claimed that it's the biggest game of the season so far. There's no doubt about that. Let's stick it under the microscope right now. Windsor Park is going to play host to Limfield, the current runaway leaders, against the current champions in Larne. Larne have had Linfield's number. They're a team that's actually able to win at Windsor Park. It's going to be 5:30. Under the lights eventually, and I hope this is exciting. I think everybody will have an eye on this because it could have significant ramifications for the rest of the season here, as many of these games do. Any fan of Crusaders or Cliftonville will be waving their red flags in support of Larne. There's absolutely no doubt about that. Rather than just going straight to a score prediction, who do you think needs to have a big game from the Larne point of view for this to be a victory? If I said to you, I'm going to give you one player to have a 9 out of 10 game, who would you want it to be in order to secure the victory?
A toss up between Rowan Ferguson and Cian Bolger for me, because Matt Fitzpatrick, it will be, he'll be difficult to deal with, and Joel Cooper, obviously McKee, Linfield have a lot of weapons going forward. But I feel if Cian Bolger has a good game, if he can keep at least one of those guys quiet, that would go a long way to frustrating Linfield. Obviously Rowan had a great game on Friday night against Cliftonville. Some big saves kept Larne in it, so it's a toss up between those two. But if you're going to put a gun to my head and make me pick one, I would say Ferguson. Rowan Ferguson, if he has a big game, because Linfield will have chances of that, there's no doubt. You can't expect to go to Windsor Park, get the Miracle to go to Windsor Park and not have Linfield have chances. So he's going to have to be called upon and make some big saves, as he so often does.
Arnie Ryan got minutes on Friday. No sign of Lee Bonus. Is there even a chance he could be treading the boards of Windsor Park on Saturday? Because he has been a key villain against the Blues over the past year.
I think so, but and I think if he does, he has to go in as a two with Paul O'Neill. Paul O'Neill has caused Linfield problems himself, so has Andy Ryan. part of some people were saying that Andy Ryan could have maybe started on Friday night, but didn't want to just throw him straight back in there. But yeah, I think he has to start. If there's even, obviously you don't throw him in if he's not 100% fit, but I don't even think he would have been on the bench on Friday if he wasn't 100% fit. So yeah, I think he has to start in a two with O'Neill.
To flip that back over to a Linfield perspective, plenty of their players have looked great this season, and they're lucky to have that attacking talent. And McKee is firing. Fitzpatrick's got his confidence up now after the Newry game. Cooper has been as dynamic as they come. Miller looks to have grown in confidence over the past few weeks. So for them, I think if they are going to put the rocket behind somebody and say, please lead us to victory, I think it's probably going to be Joel Cooper, because there it's going to be a compact box no matter what. From a Lauren defensive point of view, we all know the three well battle hardened centre backs that they have, and I think Linfield could pump balls into that box all day, and between Bulger and others, they'll deal with that. I think perhaps if Cooper can get in behind the wing backs, that's where he will cause most trouble. That's where he will be the man that will draw an extra fender away to give that space to his attackers. So if you can double or triple team him, and I'm sure Lynch and Co will have that already marked in their big book, that's exactly what they should be doing. Of course, they'll want to have, you know, their recent superstar Ewan East, who was getting a lot of love last week, to play well to stop Lauren from scoring. But the difficulty Linfield has had, particularly against Lauren, is probably scoring the goals to make it interesting. So a big game out wide for their players, and this is a season-defining victory for them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, not only have Lauren beaten them in the league and the Shield, Linfield didn't score any of those games. And truthfully, well, we saw Chris McKee had a bad miss at Inver, but they weren't really creating many chances. And yeah, I think you're spot on with the shout on Joel Cooper. He is a player, as cliched as it is, can make something happen out of nothing. You know, I could see it being tense for a while. You know, say if you get an hour gone, it's still goalless, there's level. Much like, you know, that Andy Ryan can do for Lauren and others, like Joel Cooper has that bit of flair in him where he can make something happen. And as you said, you know, you're gonna pump balls into the box to Matt Fitzpatrick, who, yes, is a quality striker doing that. Keane Bolger, Sean Want, Aaron Donnelly, they'll eat that for breakfast.
My gut tells me this is 1-1, but that's no crack if you're listening to this. So if I am to be pushed and to be told that this is not going to be a draw, unfortunately for you, of course, Mr. Strange, I will say that I think because of the lack of 100% fit Ryan and Bonus, Linfield don't have that same injury situation. So I think as an attacking threat, they are a bit more in form, and I'm going to say it's going to be Linfield, but like I said, I think it's going to be 1-1. But hey, look, I'll edge it 2-1 Linfield then.
Well, they always say there's no such thing as a wrong opinion, but except for that one, no. if I had to be pushed for one, I'm going to go the other way around, 2-1 Lauren. But yes, I think you could be right in the draw as well, but I'm going to push it to 2-1 Lauren.
After being scorned by Lauren last week, Cliftonville return home and they welcome up Newry City to Solitude. I think this is pretty simple. I feel as though Cliftonville, in fact, I know Cliftonville are one of the best attacking forces in the league. In fact, they're one of the best defensive forces in the league as well. Two things that spell trouble for anybody going to Solitude, but a Newry City side who aren't exactly firing in all cylinders from a defensive or an attacking point of view, says Captain Ben Wilson, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're Cliftonville looking to bounce back from that defeat to Lauren, you couldn't really ask for a better opponent than Newry. Sadly for Gary Boyle, you know, and his men. Yeah, I mean, look at the attacking talent in Cliftonville's lineup.
Ronan Hill's back now.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of people in Row were surprised and quite pleased whenever Rory Hill was taken off just before the hour. The other night at Inver, I was surprised seeing go off, because I think really anything good that had come from them attack wise had come from him, so I was quite surprised and pleased to see him go off. So yeah, it's a sort of game you can see Cliftonville, as they so often do, just kind of start to rack up the goals. And as I said, to bounce back from the defeat at Inver, you couldn't really ask for a better opponent.
Best scenario you can hope for, I think, would be the big old battling fluky 0-0, or maybe a 1-1 from a nice little set piece. But I haven't seen that from Newry. Let's just say anything under 3-0 probably would seem like a spiritual victory. I'm going 3-0 rates.
Yeah, I'm going to even pump it up higher. I think it could be 5.
Yeah.
They did it in Ireland. I think they could do it again.
Wouldn't be surprised. I think particularly the way Cliftonville come at you and play it out wide and play it along a back line. You know, they can encamp in your box and just go, from one end of the pitch to the other until you are dizzy and find that yard to get the goal. Let's go to Stanmore Park. Dungannon Swifts go against Carrick Rangers. I've kind of been getting it right over the past few weeks with Carrick by saying if they're supposed to win, say they lose, and if they're supposed to lose, they win. It's going pretty well. So the most Carrick Rangers thing possible right now is drawing away to Dungannon Swifts. So before we even get into any analysis, confirmed 0-0. Done.
Yeah, 1-1.
But you're not joking. You actually think that might happen?
Yeah, I do, because Carrick, like I said, I've seen them a couple of times this year. I really, really like Carrick. I really like what they do. You know, Purgus and, you know, Immaculatus, I think, is a super player. You know, they have real quality in the side, but they just look so open sometimes. You know, like I'd say another absolute gentleman, Stuart King, you know, I don't know. It's Dungannon, I feel, they've taken points off Larne, as I said, this season, and, you know, they're scuffling, you know, they're not getting beat heavily. But then at the same time, this could also be very Carrick if this was the sort of game where Carrick eventually kind of broke through against the team that they're supposed to. But I think it's going to either be a draw or a narrow Carrick win, but I'm going to lean towards the draw.
It's funny. I think actually Dungannon don't want to score first, because if it's going to be a draw, it's going to be Carrick Rangers getting ahead and then Dungannon pulling the back and being a last minute scramble to score. If Dungannon score early, I think Carrick will just get angry and that will help them. It will help them to come back, a bit like we saw against Glentoran. Right, tasty little encounter this. You wouldn't have said this at the start of the season. Lakeview Park plays host to Loughall against a sad and wounded Crusaders. Loughall got a 1-1 draw at Seaview earlier on in the season when they were the team down the 10 men and they were the team that were able to go and get a goal. Crusaders should have won that game. They didn't. I have not seen Stephen Baxter more angry than after that game. He'll probably be fuming if he doesn't get a victory here. If they don't, their participation in this title race is on even thinner tender hooks. It's win or bust for the Crews, but everybody will think Loughall are the dark horses of the weekend.
Yeah, I think this is like this clash of the styles here, really. We spoke about Crusaders earlier being quite the direct, big, physical side, and Loughall, who, what I was going to say about Loughall earlier, they play with absolutely no fear. They're like the opposite of Glentoran. When Glentoran play at the minute, they seem to be scared in a way. They sort of almost like they clam up. It's almost like they're scared to do something wrong. Whereas Loughall don't have that at all. And yes, like I said, it can work when they're against them, that they're a little bit open at the back. But going forward, I think they'll give, you mentioned earlier, kind of a makeshift Crusaders defence. I think they'll give them trouble. I genuinely think they could beat them.
Score?
2-1 Loughall.
Wow, I'm not feeling as bold. I think it might be a 2-0 for the Crews. I think. I don't know why. It's a different pitch. Everything points the other way. I think you can't start backing off Crusaders just because they got McKendried, you know. Before we get to the Monday night game, Let's go to the Ballymena Showgrounds. This run or gauntlet of life for Ballymena hasn't particularly been giving them a whole lot of points. Glenavon will hope to make it 3-3. This has been quite a tasty encounter over the past season and a half. There's usually red cards. There's usually goals. All the goals have dried up for these teams, which is why I think this will be a 0-0. Neither team wanting to lose it and neither team having enough to try and win it. Therefore, a red card could maybe spice this up, but no, nil-nil.
I was actually going to say the same thing, but you know, I can't. That, as you say, that's no crack either. Yeah, the two, that could be really turgid. It really could be. Or it could end up being like 5-0, you know, and that we would be totally proved wrong. But yeah, since you said 0-0, I'll say 1-1, but I'm not overly confident on that there. But yeah, I don't think either side. It's one of those ones that, like I heard Liam Beckett said, he's watched Ballymena a few times. I've seen them a couple of times, but it's almost looked like Ballymena looks scared to concede a goal. And then when they do, it's like, oh, you know, what do we do now? You know, like it seemed to be the case with Loch Goal. They took the lead and then all of a sudden conceded one and they just capitulate.
If I'm going to give the edge to anybody here, it might be Ballymena only because I think they're stronger from set pieces. That's kind of it. And it feels like a game where a set piece is the thing that's going to be the difference. But no, I just think it'll be an unfortunate 0-0. Perhaps suits them both in this situation, but a win could really do some real good for either one of those teams. But we'll go to our final game on Monday evening. Coleraine host Glentoran. How will Glentoran be after seeing a whole slate of games on the Saturday? Maybe they'll be buoyant after a brilliant victory in the League Cup against Linfield, or perhaps it's just even more pressure. It hasn't been a long time since these two teams have actually played against each other. The man that was key to Coleraine winning was McKendry. What a player he is this season. He's been able to make himself far more consistent. He's playing in a more central striker role and he's looked fantastic. He looks dynamic. He looks fearless. He's dogged. He's a battler. Definitely earns a place in the team of the season so far, but will he be the difference when these two teams play each other? I'm backing Coleraine here. I haven't backed them a lot this season, but I think at home on a Monday night, I just think they'll be up for this more compared to their opposition.
Yeah, I think you're right. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think Matthew Shevlin is eligible to come back, isn't he? I think he's a 3-game ban. Am I wrong?
Another little chili pepper to throw into the pot.
Yeah, so you know, if he comes back into the side as well, like he's a real quality forward. McKendry, Coleraine coming in with confidence. I don't think anyone has ever described a League Cup game in November as must win, but I'm calling it now for the Glens. Like, if they go out again, by the time this podcast is out, the game might be over. We're recording before it, but if they go out against Linfield and lose, or even worse, get embarrassed, you know, 3 or 4, which I could see happening. You know, it's not out of the realms of possibility. Could be famous last words, but yeah, if they go then up to Coleraine, who are, you know, buoyant, you know, bring Shevlin back in, Glacken, McKendry. Yeah, I'm with you. I see a Coleraine.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be 2-0. Maybe goals come late, but I think it's going to be 2-0 for Coleraine. They've had their defensive troubles, that is for sure. I just think they've got a bit of confidence now. They looked a lot better than they have previously in recent times against teams. They looked a lot better there against the Crews, and they'll want to combine that into a little 2-for-2 there. But hey, Mr. Strange, we've come to the end of another fine edition of a podcast. Thanks, of course, in part to your excellent contributions. I hope you enjoyed being back. If people aren't following you or aren't a part of the Mark Strange fan club, how can they do that?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Real Mark Strange. My Instagram, my partner Leo will attest this. I'm a bit of an old man when it comes to Instagram. She gets mad at me for that, but I am on Instagram at Stranon Media, Stranon Media. And I am trying my best to update my Instagram more, but that's where you can find me.
Q-Pix only, Mr. Strange. That's how.
Is right.
Give the people.
Right.
Give the people what they want.
Massive.
Until next time, Mark. Thank you for being here. Chat soon.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate your time.
Hello, fans of the post-pod section. You know, I was with my folks this weekend for a wee evening, and we somehow were watching that little program where there's a load of like actors, singers, and dancers, and they all want to be in Mamma Mia, and obviously an awful way into how to get into like a high-end musical, but They're doing it all the same. And it kind of got me thinking, like, if you wanted to be, like, everybody wants to be an Irish League footballer or something, if there was a similar way for that, like, what would you do? What would you task? Like, if we got a load of players that were out of contract and you had to go through this challenge, only one can be the backup left back in Ballymena. And what would they have to do? Like, would it be the hoofing challenge, or, you know, having to, like, who's the fastest on 3G, or who can, like, slide tackle, or would it be just, like, mouth and all for something like that? I don't know. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you had a good time. I hope if you're listening to this, you're also a follower of the podcast on Instagram and Facebook and on Twitter. The way to do that is by following at Kicking Match on all three. You know that you need to be a follower of this podcast on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts. I'm sure one would suffice, because I doubt you're listening to this on, you know, two different platforms. But if you do that, you join a fun club with, like, hundreds of other people, and it means you get a little notification as soon as this podcast comes out. You can also take this podcast hand free, say hello smart speaker, please play Kicking Match, an Irish League podcast. I would like to say thank you for listening, and I also like to say, till next time, cheerio, enjoy your football, my friend. Tally ho.